Well, this is a special edition of Growing the Game with Ballsy. We'll call it episode 52. I didn't expect to be here doing this episode today since I just released episode 51, but, well, things change. And yes, in Rams land, it did change. Unfortunately for the University of Regina Rams, they wake up today now 0-5 on the season. They're 3 wins stripped because they had a player who was academically ineligible. And as you'll hear from the press conference or the scrum with athletic director Lisa Robertson, it is not on Steve Bryce and his football team. But nonetheless, they get stripped of 3 wins and are now 0-5. Here's what Lisa had to say.
So, probably a bit of a bad news day for you guys. What was the eligibility issue?
Well, first of all, we're gutted and devastated for our Rams family, frankly. And for our community, our football community. I can tell you that it was a human error in the processing of intake and academically ineligible student-athlete.
If it was a human error, how did it come about October 4th rather than August 20th?
That's the crazy thing about human error. It was something that our intake process happens basically several months leading up into a season, September, and the error occurred during that time. And upon further reflection or checking of student transcripts, it was discovered.
Lisa, there's a lot of things that make a player eligible. Was this academic? Was this age? Was it transfer issues? What was the issue?
It was an academic ineligibility.
Specifically, what does that mean? Were they in the right number of classes?
I can't speak to the detail of that. That's private student information. But I can tell you under the U-Sport policy, he was deemed academically or is academically ineligible under U-Sport policy.
So the Rams are in charge generally of raising their own funds. This is a black mark on the team. Does this have anything to do with the team or is it more on the university side of things?
This is 100% my accountability on the university administrative side.
Okay, so, and that's good. I'm glad you brought that up. My next question is this. You guys had a kind of a situation with the wrestling program. Mm-hmm. You got this Rams program. If I'm a parent, why would I want to send my student to the U of R to, you know, look at a sports avenue, sports scholarship? Why would I want to send them here?
Well, first of all, you mentioned the wrestling and men's volleyball, frankly, situation in the spring, and they're unrelated. This is as I mentioned, a human error, and why would you want to send your son or daughter is because we have great programs, we have great coaches, we have a great team, and a mistake was made. It is not a mistake that is unique to the University of Regina. It's happened at other institutions across this country. Eligibility and compliance is complex, and frankly, it will happen again. We're doing a review. We'll be informing our policies moving forward as well as our processes moving forward to eliminate to the best of our ability errors like this happening again.
So is there any way to, I know you guys brought this to the forefront, gave it to Canada West. That's right, you self complied, which is great. But is there any way to appeal it, I guess, or to, you know, it's harsh. You look at you got the all-time Canadian passer here, whose records fortunately get the stand, and all those other kids, and they've got a great chance of doing something this year, and now they have nothing. Like, what do you say to those kids?
Well, first of all, I did talk to them, their season's not over. They have 3 more games. They're 0-5 right now. They can go 3-5, which wouldn't put them out of playoff contention. So, first of all, their season is not over. We're going to do our due diligence in process review. We're going to look at a variety of avenues, but we self-disclosed because a mistake was made.
Lisa, this has happened in university sports before.
It has.
But why did it happen this year rather than other years with other Ram or Cougar players?
Well, because you can't control when a mistake is going to happen.
Does the athletics department have anyone in charge of making sure its players are eligible?
We do, but that accountability ultimately lies in my hands. I'm the director of athletics, and ultimately it's under my office that those responsibilities fall.
Has anyone been disciplined?
I'm not going to speak to any personnel matters.
What supports are there for students, say Rams players, mm-hmm. or the ineligible athlete himself moving forward?
Yeah, so we have a counselor was at our meeting this morning when we met with the student athletes, and myself and Coach Bryce will be meeting with the any students, frankly, that need our support, and they do have the information available to them at any given time in order to seek guidance for both emotional support, academic support, and anything they may need in the coming weeks.
You were a student athlete, Lisa. How do you explain this to someone who's put their entire university career into a sport that they love?
You can't. There are no words. There are no sorries. There are no ways to make it better. I was a student athlete, and I know how hard they work, and I know how hard it is to balance school and elite athleticism at a university level. And frankly, there's nothing that I can say to make it better, but all I can do is in the days going forward, take the steps to support them, take the steps to investigate as deeply as we can and review our processes, cooperate with U Sport. It will go to a discipline committee at the U Sport level. We will cooperate 100% with them and comply with whatever regulations or sanctions they put on us.
Are you worried about further sanctions?
No, I'm not. I'm well aware of the levels of sanction that can come down. I'm a member. We are a member of U Sport, and U Sport works because the members comply and agree to the policies under which they operate.
What's the status of the student athlete now in question?
I can't speak to that.
How tough was that?
Talk to the team.
We met with the team. Yes.
And what was
so
their mood?
Reactions?
What do you think their mood was? Yeah. They were devastated. Yeah. I mean, everything, it was very hard news to hear.
How tough was that conversation for you to talk to the, you know, get the ball rolling, talk to the coach, say this is the issue we're having?
It's not about me. It's not been fun, but it's not about me. I'm focused on our coaching staff and our student athletes right now and supporting them and supporting the rest of the staff of the Cougars. And those student athletes who are competing and in their seasons.
Lisa, what were some of the questions that came up amongst the players when you met with them?
Frankly, that meeting was a safe place for our student athletes and a safe place for our coaching staff, so I'm not going to comment on that.
Was this error made within the purview of the Rams or within the purview of university administration?
I already spoke to that. It was in the purview of university administration.
How did this ineligibility get discovered? Like, what was someone just happened to be going through student transcripts? How did this get discovered?
Yeah, we're investigating that right now. So I don't have anything more to add to other than the academic ineligibility was discovered this week.
How do you try to make sure this doesn't happen again? What are you doing to?
Well, the first step is we're doing an internal review. I'm not leading it. It'll be led by somebody else within the institution, to look at this matter and to review our policies and procedures around compliance and how we may be able to provide more safeguards, frankly.
What's the intake process for a transfer student?
Not much different than another student other than, we have another layer of vetting through our international office who helps us understand international transcripts.
Has the university gone through all the other sports now too to make sure that they're all compliant?
We do weekly checks, frankly, on eligibility, on current eligibility. But with this error happening in the summer in the intake process, it wouldn't have been discovered as part of our weekly checks on eligibility. But we do have processes for that.
What is an intake process?
Well, where the institution has to determine admissibility, are they even admissible to the institution, then we have to determine eligibility. Are they actually eligible under U Sport policy? Admissibility to an institution is not necessarily eligibility to play U Sport. So there's several layers within organizations, in the organizations and other universities as well, in terms of bringing students on campus from wherever, whether it be high school or transfer or wherever.
Who is the ineligible player?
I can't speak to that. That's private.
Why has his name disappeared from the roster?
I'm not going to speak to that.
It's
privacy.
Player's name is.
I can't speak to anything that has to do with protecting of individual privacy.
Lisa, this may seem silly, but I know it was kind of discussed what the statistics, how the impact will happen, but somebody like Noah Pickton, who's setting records, how will those statistics be impacted because this player is now not playing?
They won't. The Canada West policy around this, because they were league games, so it falls under Canada West, which is our league, states that the ineligible players' statistics will be removed, but the remaining players' statistics stand. So it does not affect anybody's personal statistics other than the ineligible player.
I understand the coach isn't available today. Is that correct?
That is correct. We're giving, we are letting that family gather together and be together and be available for each other as needed. So the coaching staff is not available today.
Growing the Game with Ballsy, brought to you by our friends at Pete's Hut in Saskatoon and the Concord Group, also brought to you by Wheel Estate. Check them out online at wheelestate.ca, and by Paul Waldo over at Royal LePage, the home expert team. Call him at 306-502-5355. Joined on the phone by former University of Regina Rams head coach Frank McChrystal. Now, I tried to get somebody from the Rams to speak, but they've been told to remain silent on the fact that they had three of their wins stripped for the first time in franchise history because of an ineligible player, an academically ineligible player. And Frank, that's devastating news for that team.
Yeah, it's really difficult. You know, you prepare and you work hard all off season and to go into the season. I mean, all of these games are tough, you know. In that Can West Conference, it really doesn't matter what the records are. When you hit the field, every team is tough. So, you know, to have it taken away like that it's really, really difficult for everybody concerned, everyone from, you know, the players, the coaches, the university as a whole, and certainly our sponsors and all of those people. It's really difficult.
Now, fortunately, as you heard here earlier on the podcast, Lisa Robertson, the athletic director, did say it was on her and it was a clerical error on the university side. Has nothing to do with the Rams football team, so that's good. It kind of removes the black eye, but like my grandpa always used to say, perception's everything and facts are negotiable, Frank. So just take me back to your time, because you've dealt with a lot of players and dealing with a lot of players and a lot of players that come internationally or transfer students. So just take me down that road and just what you had to do as a coach slash general manager, because I used to say this, Frank McChrystal was the head coach, but you weren't, when I played and even when I was, you know, broadcasting for the team when you were the coach, you weren't so much an X's and O's guy. It wasn't because you didn't like X's and O's. It wasn't because you didn't know X's and O's. It's because, quite frankly, you had to wear the manager's hat, didn't you?
Well, you have to look after the whole program. You really do. And I mean, if you go back to 1999 when we came on, we did the football. The university provided us a league to play in and an opportunity to play because we had decided that we needed a greater challenge or more of a challenge or maybe even fairly a different challenge than the junior football at that time. So we were going to run the football team. They were going to allow us to come into the league and play in their league. And so with that kind of mandate, we made sure that we looked after all the things that needed to be looked after on the football team. And certainly there's a whole number of stop gaps in bringing people in and academic eligibility relative to did you complete 18 credit hours the year before? Did you play for someone the year before? When was the last date you played? There's, you know, it sounds when you say it like that, that there's a lot, but there's just some really basic fundamentals that you cover off and you have to make sure that you do it and you do it and you hear it from the horse's mouth. And then you follow up with, actually some documentation that supports why you did something or why someone is eligible or not.
And Frank, you brought one of the most famous guys into the Rams program in Akeem Hicks, who was an LSU transfer, had some issues there with the LSU Tigers football program. And of course, we all know Akeem Hicks, a star in the National Football League with the Chicago Bears. Just how tough was it to jump through hoops to bring this guy in to play for you guys?
Well, you know, again, it's time consuming. And I mean, I went and I talked to the athletic director at LSU. He put me onto the compliance person at LSU. Then I also had to deal with the compliance person, athletic person at Baton Rouge. That was sort of the affiliate college that takes people to the next level. It's kind of Baton Rouge is kind of a junior college, and he had to take classes from there to become eligible for the four-year university program that was at LSU. I made sure that I talked to all of those guys to check out what was going on, to check out the eligibility, and then to make sure that his transcripts, all of his transcripts, showed up here for us to evaluate, and the course outlines, the syllabus for each of the classes, to make sure that they actually were going to transfer up here. And, you know, I mean, you just got to do that, Mike. You have to keep on top of that stuff and do it.
So, Frank, is there like a... And I'm not throwing Steve Bryce under the bus, young coach just figuring it out, and I'm not expecting you to. But what I'm getting at is, do you have to step on some toes at the university and maybe rankle some feathers just to make sure all your bases are covered? And sometimes that's an awkward conversation or an awkward thing to do because you don't want to look like you're stepping on somebody's toes on the clerical side. But do you kind of have to cross boundaries just to make sure your ass is covered, so to speak?
Well, I don't know if ruffling feathers or wrangling people is the right word. You know, when I came on there in 1999, we had a guy who ended up being our academic advisor, Don Clark, who had taught for years out there and actually was an athletic director and was the coach of the wrestling team for a number of years. Don took me around to each one of the faculties. I met the dean of admin out there at that time. I met the dean of engineering. I met the president of Campion, the president of Luther, and he made sure that I was introduced to all of those people. And then the next people that I got close to were people in the registrar's office in admissions. Susan Husum at that time was there and worked really closely with us. And it's not that you ruffle feathers, Mike. It's the fact that they're actually really appreciative and feel good about you coming to them for advice. And it makes them feel like they're a part of the team. You know, it really does. That win, that game that you're playing on the weekend, they feel every bit a part of it as much as any coach or manager or even player. And once you got everybody, you know, if they're oar in the water rowing the same way, it can be a pretty powerful thing.
Okay, lastly, Frank, we always try to compare ourselves with the United States, and we've talked about now the athletes here and the coaching is getting better, and we're getting maybe a little bit more on par with you know, United States football. I don't know if Division 1A against our university sports, but we're certainly comparable with a lot of Division 2 programs. But, you know, as we're looking that way, Frank, I'm dealing with this myself. My son's in grade 11, and we're just, you know, exploring opportunities and such, and we're looking at writing some SATs, and you got to register with the clearinghouse, the NCAA clearinghouse, or they call it the eligibility center now. We need one of those in Canada, don't we?
We certainly do. We need a better compliance in Canada for sure. And, I mean, if you really want to get into it, talk to the guys in the Quebec Conference. Talk to the guys that have to play against Laval and see what they would like to see happen in terms of compliance. And there's a whole bunch of things with compliance, from academic eligibility to eligibility relative to how many years you've played to the whole fact of whether or not people are receiving benefits outside of the tuition and compulsory fees. So, I mean, you need someone, you need a body. Not one person, one person at now it's called U Sport, to try to deal with all of the sports and all of the athletes would be overwhelming. It would be impossible to do. If they want to really improve this thing and really improve competition and level the playing field, they need a board. They need a group. They need five or six people or an office that's just there for help. For compliance. And that also gives you an opportunity as a coach bringing someone up from the States, like an Akeem Hicks, to you can go directly to them and get the ruling right there at that time.
I'm very happy, though, at least Lisa Robertson stood up today, and maybe she had no choice, but she stood up today and took the hit and said it was on the university and on her and not on the Rams, because the Rams are a different entity. They got to raise their own money. They can't have kind of a scandal hanging over their heads, especially like when the 50-50 at the Ryder game is going to be $100,000 to start, and that's such a lifeblood. Lastly, Frank, I guess you know what's interesting about this is we talk about getting a body, but you know they were self-compliant, and I guess you got to do that. So they notify Can West. It's a clerical error. There's got to be somewhere down the line where you got to have some lenience. Like the kids, like you're. Think about this. We're squandering the greatest passer in U Sports history's last season because of a clerical error. There's got to be a way to appeal this down the line. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, I think two things, Mike. I think, you know, good for Lisa if she steps up and says, hey, it's on me or it's on, you know, one of my people or my office. There's enough blame to go around. Like, I mean, hey, if you're a team, let's share this. You know, I threw the interception. I fumbled the ball. I missed a tackle. You know what? There's enough blame to go around. Certainly that's number one. Number two, you would expect that you would be able to go and appeal this and say, listen, this is what's happened. This is where it went. This is the effect that it may or may not have had on the game. I think what it's sort of, you know, kind of like the divorce thing, you know, where there's a template and there's so many people that have jerked around and dicked other people left and right that they have to have some template standard for this. But you would be hopeful if there was a body, a compliance body, that you could go to and properly appeal, not just pull guys from the University of Lethbridge, Victoria, and New Brunswick on a conference call, that you would be able to work through this thing.
All right, Frank, thanks for this. We appreciate it. And now that you got more time in your hands, how about you and I have a beer and talk about some regular shit or something? How about that?
Well, I can tell you, Michael, that I'm really considering doing a blog on happy hours. And that's where I'm off to now. And if the blog gets enough attention, I'm going to make an app and sell the app for happy hours across the city.
Okay, buddy, appreciate this. Enjoy yourself, okay?
You take it easy, man.
Take
talk
care.
To you.
Take care.